Okay, everybody, close your eyes. I'm looking now. Got to wait, make sure everybody's eyes are closed. If you're looking at me, I can see you. All right, are your eyes closed? Everybody say yes. Okay, good. So, think of who you love. Who do you love? Who comes to mind? And then ask yourself, how do I love those people that came to mind? And why do you love those people who come to mind? For many of us, we're probably sitting next to them, so you can open eyes and look at them and smile. If not, you can just look to heaven and smile. Remember, they're right near you. The people we love, our spouse, our children, our parents, our best friend. We know the importance of love. We know how it feels when we give it. We know how it feels when we get it. We feel it in our soul, in our spirit, in our heart. We have four baptisms this weekend. Gifts of life, gifts of love from God. In fact, Manuel, stand up here. Come up here, buddy. Listen, look at this young man. He is all dressed up, brand new shoes and suit and tie. Doesn't he look handsome? Give him a hand because he's so excited. Why are we celebrating baptisms? Because they're gifts of life. They're gifts of love from God. Right, Mom and Dad? Just nod your heads at me, right? Right? That's what life is. And when we're so grateful for that gift of life, that gift of love, we come to God and say, thank you. And we ask God to help us. Parents ask God to help them love their child and to lead their child to come to know God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's natural. It's essential. It's an important part of what parents do. Love their child and thank God for the gift of life, the gift of love. And they ask God, and we all ask God when we celebrate baptisms together. We ask God to help us love and protect and nurture and guide and teach this child. We all know why it's important. It's about faith, and it's about family. It's why we come to God in faith and thanksgiving each week. We ask God to help lead us and guide us, being loving parents, loving spouses, loving children, loving family members, loving children of God. The challenge is the next step. The next step we hear in the gospel. To love your neighbor as yourself. Listen again to the story. A scholar, probably one who has some wealth, who thinks he's pretty smart, comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, how do I find my way to eternal life? What do I have to do? Jesus says, love God with your mind and your heart and your soul and your strength. You could see the scholar going, yeah, I got that. And then Jesus says, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then the scholar says, who's my neighbor, Jesus? And you could see Jesus look at this him and want to say, really? You're really asking me that question? Are you kidding me? You could see that in the back of Jesus' mind. Jesus is a pretty smart guy because he doesn't go there. He simply tells a wonderful story, a story with a twist. A man is beaten to within an inch of his life. We know the story. And we know the story. You know, the priest comes down the road, sees the guy on the side of the road and says, I'm not touching this. And he walks around him. You know, it's priests. I mean, we have two deacons here, so you can make the joke. It's not deacons that are picking on in the gospel. It's the priests. The Levite, another religious man, comes upon the same man dying on the side of the road. He, too, walks to the other side and says, I'm not paying attention. I'm not getting my hands dirty. I'm not getting involved. And then the Samaritan comes. And remember, the Samaritans were considered lower class of the day. So it's appropriate that Jesus picks the Samaritan to be the one who steps out of his comfort zone, recognizes the man in need, and serves him. He gets involved. He acts. He steps up. He treats him well, right? Anoints him with oil and wine. I wonder if he gave it to him, the wine to drink, but he probably should have. He feeds him. He takes care of him. He heals him. He takes him to the hotel and says, take care of this man, and here's money to do it. And if it costs more, I'll come back and take care of him later. He sacrifices his time, his talent, and his treasure to help a man in need, giving of himself in love. You hear our festival is next weekend? Did you hear about it? Just go, yeah, Father, we got it. Right? Our festival is when we are called to respond in love, just like the Samaritan, to love our neighbor as Jesus taught. It's a time when we welcome, it's a time when we serve, it's a time when we sacrifice to welcome guests to our front yard. It's when we love our neighbor. It's when we extend ourselves. We know well how to love those who are important to us. We're willing to give our time and energy to love those people who, when we had our eyes closed, were the first people to come to mind. We are here in prayer each week because we know we love God. And we know we are thankful for our blessings of life and family. The question to ask ourselves comes from Jesus' last words in the gospel. Go and do likewise. Can we go and love our neighbor? Can we go and sacrifice and serve? Can we go and extend ourselves to others in love? We remember the journey of following and living in love starts with baptism. And every time we sign ourselves, we remind ourselves that that's our mission, being connected to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and living lives of love. That's why we're here today, so that we can receive Jesus in love and share him in love. Amen.